Welcome. It's good to see you, despite the weather. We're going to go for 45 minutes and then maybe have a five-minute break. And then we'll do another 45 minute, have a chunkier break, if that's okay. Will that work? And then what we'll do in the third session is we'll look for two or three case studies of your businesses and we'll push them through the grid with other people giving the input. With you giving the input into whichever businesses we choose, and just look at it through that angle. A little bit of my background: I majored in economics and accounts at Varsity, and lectured about 200 odd entrepreneurs over the space of about 2 years with a small business development corporation. It's now known as Business Connections or Business Partners, one of the two, and. That was just pre the World Cup. I had a lot of guys starting up World Cup related businesses at the time, and consulted to about 20 of those as a direct consultant, and then went into the ministry for about 15 years, and really felt that season coming to an end, wanted to get back into business, and currently am in partnership with five other guys in a national engineering business. That is a zero capex energy saving. It started in my kaya. I've got a little kaya in my back yard, which I converted into a little office. And in 2010, 15th of December 2010, Dave, who was going to be here but can hardly even speak, he's got the flu so badly, he came to visit me and said, I've got this little idea. He's an engineer. And he left me. I could not sleep that night. I worked right through the night on spreadsheets, probabilities, and a pricing model on this thing. Called him back the next day and said, listen, we need to actually do this thing. This is really going to fly. And we probably did our first installation about 2.5 years ago. We've currently got the likes of Nampak, Clover, Rainbow Chickens, Dunlop, Air Liquid, final throngs of a whole lot of other big businesses like Console. Nationwide, we've got installation teams in Cape Town and Johannesburg. It's just absolutely taken off to be a really significant business from me running around doing everything, literally buying every nut and bolt on my credit card and then getting reimbursed and just scratching in the beginning to we're probably employing about 18 people now in a full-time, fully employing their time. So it's been very, very rapid. It's in the green space. The timing's been right. And it's unique. We've got no advertising. If you go to our webpage, which is Energy Drive, you'll go, this is pathetic. We want it to be pathetic. We don't want to be up there with big flashing lights. We've chosen to go under the radar, specifically to engineers and CEOs of companies. We're not interested in advertising to the man in the street. And that's been our strategy. So it's a totally different strategy to what you'd find in a book. But we had to go that way because of our product. It's a technical product. So that's 8 to 5, my primary focus. The idea is within about 4 years, we'll bring in a young management team, guys in their early 30s with a whole lot more energy than us, and we'll pull back as shareholders and hand the business over and then go do something else. So that's my current history. Through the last 20 years, I have a passion to help guys with that are struggling hand to mouth and get them to be where they're not struggling hand to mouth, like the muffin lady. I still can't remember your name. Elna, I'll probably just keep calling you the muffin lady, the cake lady. To take someone who's not confident about their price, who's living, as Craig said to me, suddenly couldn't remember your name was Craig. Craig, Greg said to me, I knew it was wrong. As Greg said to me, he lives out his moon bag. You know, it goes in there, it comes out there. To take someone living out of their moon bag or living scratching, Greg's got a big operation, but it doesn't matter how big your operation is, you want to get out of a cash comes in, cash goes out, to going, what am I going to look like in a year's time? How am I going to get there? What passive income do I want? How much am I enjoying this business? Do I want someone else to do this work for me? What I love doing, I don't ever want anyone else to do. you know, all of those goals, desires, most people don't think about that. They need to pay their bond, and today's the, what's today, the 9th? And you got 21 days. Who's counting down the 21 days right now to my bond is going to pay or get bounced? No one. Come on, be honest. I know some of your stories, and I've been there. So you're sitting going, 21 days, and I've got a rent payment, I've got a car payment. How am I going to get there? You want to get out of that space. So when I started consulting, I'd go to a guy and I'd say, a guy or a lady, and I'd say, and it doesn't matter what businesses it is. I went from clothing to butcheries to, I'm still involved in helping some of my friends in roofing businesses, in training businesses, across. Daryl's here with a gas business. We often chat, gas installations. It doesn't matter what it is. The principles are the same. But I'd go to the business owner and I'd say, what is your bank balance now? So ask yourself the question. Do you know right now today what your bank balance is? Within about 100 rand. So how many of you, just slap your hand up. You know what your bank balance, your business bank balance? 200 rand. Stick your hand up high. Let's just look at a percentage. Probably less than 50. Do you know what your expected money is? Expected money income in the next 7 days and expected cash outflow in the next 7 days and what your projected bank balance is going to be in 7 days' time? Less than half of the people who put their hands up first time around. And then the third question is, what do you want your balance sheet to look like in 12 months' time? Anyone know? Anyone got that answer? One, and maybe two. So I would then say, all right, here's my rate. You need me. That was my pitch. That was my sell. And if you were not putting your hands up on those three things and you didn't want to put a whole lot of effort into getting to run a truly great business, then I didn't want to have anything to do with you because we would just irritate each other. I'd give you stuff to do. You wouldn't do it. I'd get frustrated. You get frustrated because I keep asking if you've done it and we'd part ways. So when I went into the ministry, I decided I wasn't going to ever charge again for my consulting fees. And I just did it to anybody and anyone who came along and helped guys go. And now I'm back into business. I've got time to consult anybody. So I'm not sitting helping anyone at the moment because I haven't got the time to do it. Maybe in 3 years' time, I'll get back into it. And my real passion is to help. We did it a few times. Help refugees who arrive and have got nothing and want to get going. We helped a bunch of guys from the Congo, from Burundi, actually, get going. They were science teachers and these highly qualified, as a lot of the refugees are. And we bought them their first stock of cans of Coke and gave them some cash for us, and they sold their Cokes at the robots in on the corner of Victoria Embankment, and that just as you're about to go on the M4 South. This was before those molded Coca-Cola. They got those guys in Maritzburg. They keep all the Cokes around their neck and those molded Coca-Cola. You'll see them in summer. They'll come back out again at the robots. Before that happened, our guys were on a tray with ice blocks between the Cokes on their tray, running between the cars and selling. And we got two families to survive, pay their rent, feed their kids, dress their kids, selling Cokes at the robots. And we got a negotiation with the tea room that was close by that they'd swap out warm for cold, a little section where they'd keep swapping their Cokes out to keep their cold stock there, and they'd have ice in between, and they'd just keep replenishing their stock. And I think we lent them 750 rand, made them pay it back to us, wanted them to have dignity. Okay, when they paid it back and it's their own business, there's dignity there. So we've gone from that level of helping people to trying to help people set up hairdressers, which failed dismally, and other aspects of real start-up grassroots type businesses through to turning around national businesses. I mean, that whole spectrum I've been involved in with exactly what you're going to hear this morning. It doesn't matter if it is Clover Dairies, probably one of the most impressive companies we've dealt with from structure and skill levels and everything else, from Clover Dairies through to the muffin lady, the cake lady, the principles are exactly the same. And if you learn those principles and implement those principles, you will become truly great and to the desire that you want to. Some people have got a desire to own their own home. Other people have got a desire to make 10,000 rand a month. Other people have got a desire to take their business to the stock exchange. We're building this company that we'll float it. We can float it on the stock exchange, but I don't want to. I don't want to go through a year director's course because I'm sitting commercial director at the moment. I do all the contracts and legal work with all of our corporates. I don't want to go for a year study to get Energy Drive listed on the stock exchange. I'd have to study for a year to pass some accreditation to be a director of a listed company. I don't want to do that. It doesn't interest me. But some of my partners might have energy for that. So I'll resign from my directorship and let them go and do that if they want to. But it's not my desire. So we've all got different desires. I don't know what your desires are. Some of you are in your post 50 years. You've got another 40 ahead of you, more than your entire working life, if you're 50, ahead of you if you're going to make 90, which I trust we will all make. So that's a lot of years to do some creative business and generate some nice income and live financially free. I didn't hear any amens out there, but there should have been a whole lot. All right, so who was here last time? Oh, that's good. That's less than half. So that either means it was a shocking time or... What is good about it is I can start all over again. Because we really rushed. I had an hour slot and I just did a smash overview of what we're looking at. So I want to go back through that, the grids, the quadrants as they've been called. This tool is part of what I lectured 20 years ago, 22 years ago. And I use this constantly. I use this with anybody who sits with me and says they've got stuck. I grab a serviette. I get the waiter to send me a piece of paper because I love coffee. So you'll find me in a coffee shop often. And I'll draw this picture we're about to draw. And then we start talking through the picture. You have to, if you want to do yourself a favor, discipline yourself to think through the structure. And you will cover every eventuality in your business if you think through the structure. So one of my irritations is accountants who make people dependent on them. So come to me, I will draw up your income statement, your cash flow, and your historic cash flow, your cash movement report, and your balance sheet, and I'll keep it complicated that you feel stupid in my presence, and you've got to keep coming back to me. A lot of accountants do that. My desire 22 years ago was to empower people to be confident in the presence of their accountants. Because it ain't complicated. It really isn't. And we're going to, in the second session, I'm going to drill into the financial model because most people are scared of it. And so they pull away from it. Most people don't know how to read an income statement or a balance sheet and don't know how to price properly. And so their businesses limp along. So how many of you have heard the term SWOT analysis? Other than those who were here last time. SWOT analysis. You've heard it, yeah? A few of you? So I'd heard it. I'd kind of brushed over it in business economics, which I found an absolute boring credit to do. And I just kind of tossed it out the way until I started lecturing. And my mentor took me through. He taught me this grid and explained the SWOT analysis to me. So a SWOT analysis stands for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Okay? Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. But it's not just a mush, which I got taught. What's your strengths? What's your weakness? What's your opportunities? And what's your threats? Actually, there's a clear difference here. And that's between your strengths and weaknesses being coupled and your opportunities and threats being coupled. So your strengths and weaknesses are internal issues. Okay, let's change some pens here so get a bit of effect. These are internal and these are external. So your strengths and weaknesses are internal. Opportunities and threats are external. Okay, I'm going to keep going while Craig slips around and distributes that. So when you're looking at your business, you're saying, what are my strengths and me and my staff? When I mean my, I'm talking about the business. For most people, it'll be them and maybe one or two others in a startup environment. What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses internally? And externally, in the big wide world out there, what are the opportunities and what are the threats? And the way in which you do this pictorially is, here is your little cube. That's you, your little business. And you're floating around in a macro environment. So this is macro and this is micro. Okay? You get macroeconomics and you get microeconomics. Microeconomics is within your enterprise, within your little business. So your strengths and weaknesses within your little business and the opportunities and threats in the big wide world out there. So your opportunities and threats that are out there can be your opposition, can be your supplier, suppliers, can be government, your regulations, your tax, your compensation commissioner or URF, all of that, all of those things are out there, they're outside of your business that you've got to interact with. They can threaten your business. My mate's got a training company. Blade and Zamandi changed the policy on training and put all the little training companies under massive pressure. It became a threat. The government regulation on training became a threat. He wanted to push a lot of the training into FEC colleges. Okay? And with this statute that he was proposing, it threatened my mate's business. All his opportunities just went zoop, narrow like that. But in it, opportunity arose in the whole concept, in the whole area of learnerships. You know what learnerships are? Where you get cash rebates and all sorts of things from the government, depending on how many people you train, get BE points and all that kind of thing. So government gave him put a massive threat into his business, but he converted it into an opportunity. And that's what you've got to do. You cannot eliminate a threat. You've got to convert it. You've got to convert it. You've got to move it from one to the other. However, if a weakness was your finance understanding, your financial brain was a weakness, you can eliminate that by hiring a good bookkeeper. Okay? You can deal with it. You can cross it out. You can neutralize it. You could even end up making it a strength if you hired a good chartered accountant. And what was a weakness to your business because you didn't have the skill, hiring the right guy can actually make it a strength. But at the very least, we eliminate our weaknesses. We face them. We deal with them. But a threat you can't eliminate. You can't go and get Blade and Zamani to change the legislation. You've got to convert it creatively. And I told the story, and I'll tell it again because I love it so much. A lady tried to get into the haulage industry in Durban. She hired a vacant plot with a building on it, got a whole fleet of trucks, got going, but it was opposite a very big haulage company. And this guy saw her as a threat, so he slashed his prices, and he offered his whole fleet at less than her cost price because he had returns to scale and he'd been in business a long time. So she was going for 50 rand a kilometer, and her cost was, say, 40. He offered his trucks at 35. And she freaked out. She had just committed all her finance to build this business. And the guy opposite had this big advert up, 35 rand a kilometer, whatever the price was. So she just plunged into depression. What is she going to do? There's no way she's going to. She can't run her trucks at 35. She's going to close the business before she starts it. What can she do? Sat with someone. He said, well, look at it, and how do you convert it? Brainstormed a few things, and what did she do? She renegotiated with her existing trucks to postpone the agreement by 6 months, so she lost her entire fleet. She went and hired his entire fleet at 35 rand, 5 rand cheaper than her cost, put him out of business, and made 5 rand extra kilometer on all her sales that she had lined up already pre-going for the launch. Did you follow that? Yeah? She converted him into an opportunity. That's creative thinking. Every single person that you drive past, that you see in the mall, is earning a buck somehow. Somehow. How are they doing it? How can you do it better? They're all your opposition. Every cake manufacturer in Pietermaritzburg is in opposition to our cake lady. How does she do it better? Okay, that's threats to opportunities, strengths and weaknesses. You will do well, and I'm going to show you a little bit about this box, this session. You'll do well to analyze this little box, which I'm going to give you detail on how to do that now, and go, what of it is strengths, and what of it is weaknesses? What weakness is really going to cripple me? Okay, we are zero capex business, Energy Drive. So we need lots of capital to be able to put our gear. We build big panels that go in and actually control the motors. One of the areas that could be a weakness for us is getting capital to buy the panels to install them. So we're continually watching our ability to generate more capital so that it becomes a strength and not a weakness of ours, because it'll slow our business down. Installation teams and how quickly can we install gear all over the place can become a weakness that we haven't got enough staff in Bloemfontein. Do we want to deal with it now or do we want to leave it now? If our cake lady gets asked to supply cakes to Ladysmith every second day, but she hasn't got a nice car to go there because it transports a weakness in her. She's riding around in a scooter at the moment. Does she go, I want to go and rent a truck that can take 20 cakes to Ladysmith? Or am I happy that transport stays a weakness for now? And I'm going to deal with that weakness in 6 months' time or in a year's time. You don't want to always go and address it all the time. Yeah? Sometimes you're happy to leave it there, but you want to know it's a weakness. We're not going to go there yet. We'll leave it. We'll address it at a later date. Give me some, who has started up a business in the last 6 months? Explain it. Okay. And Krista, did you put your hand up?
Yes. Yeah.
Good. My wife is a photographer. So you strike close to home. She started up 2 years ago. She specializes in newborns. So we will use photography because I know her challenge as well. I coach her often. Daryl, tell us what you do. And you've moved from where to where? And you're still currently servicing Pietermaritzburg, trying to break into Durban. Okay. Daryl, I know well. Who else? Been running for 2 years. Yep. Yep. Okay. All right, so when you're saying pottery, is it aesthetic or is it, and you're using it to cook with? It's healthy cooking. It's not like pretty pots stand on the decorative stuff. It's cooking. Okay, all right. So what's that, Corningware competition top, an alternative in a whole different way. Okay. There are lots of advantages. I have a mate who is involved with that as well, I think. Okay, what else? Yes. Okay. Greg is in a fascinating place with a whole heap of stock that he needs to let the world know about. And there's a whole lot happening in that space, which is I'm watching with keen interest. Okay, who else? Give me other business opportunities if you think it was interesting or you need help. All right. Okay, from home? Yes, I know it as well. It's like Justine. The Justine product? but better. There we go. Okay, good. Who else? Give me a few more. Yeah. Okay. Right, and what's your target market? Yeah, and how do you meet them? Where do you meet them? Are you on campus yourself? Okay. Okay. All right, anyone else? What are you doing? Grant. Okay. Okay, are you working together? No, different. Okay. All right. And what do you do? Okay, you're an employee. Do you want to get out of being an employee to being self-employed? Do you know Robert Kiyosaki's statement? Yeah? I'm going to quickly digress because you just triggered it when you said you were an employee. He has this little box, very well-known box. I haven't looked at it for a while. I might get it wrong. In fact, Craig, can you lose that one that I just peeled over there and stick it up for me? Okay, he has, it's called it's an ERBS. I'll just get the right, you can just tear it. Ambidextrous. Okay, he has ESBI, something like that, I think. Okay, this is employee. This is self-employed. Self-employed. This is business owner. And this is investor. Okay, Kiyosaki's books are quite good. I've enjoyed them. I haven't read one for a couple of years. But these are the options you've got as an individual. You can be an employee. Someone else is paying you a fixed salary or commission, or fixed salary plus commission in this sort of space. Self-employed is a commission only, or you're running your own business. If you don't sell, you don't get income, and you are self-employed. A business owner is very different to self-employed. Most people say they are business owners, but they're actually self-employed. So a business owner is someone who gets other people working for him, and the key phrase here is he works on his business, not in his business. Here you're working in your business, and then an investor is where I should be with this business that we're in at the moment in the next 4 years, where I am very, very little working on the business, but that's a passive income stream where other people are doing the work for you and you put the systems in place. His statement is this: most of these people would be better off if they had stayed here. Say that again. Most self-employed people would be better off if they stuck to the job that they were previously employed in. They'd have less stress. They'd have more regular income, there'd be more peace in their marriage, they'd be in less debt, or their debt would be manageable. When they step out of that space, there's stress, there's conflict, this is a tough place to be. You want to get from here to here, and the difference between, this is Kiyosaki's comment, is most people would be better if they'd stayed there. Your alternative is you want to get from here to here. And that is my passion. Business rescue generally focuses on this point here, crises, and is trying to make that green arrow movement. Okay, why? Because that green arrow is my favorite word. I think it's Kiyosaki probably taught it to me. Leverage. Leverage. Leverage says I can stand here and still be making money. Okay? So is it Elna, the cake lady? If Elna had a team cooking right now, baking a cake to be presented, you probably can't do it to a wedding this afternoon, but to flea market tomorrow, if she was sitting here while people were busy baking, she's in that, starting to head into that zone. But if it's no Elmer bake, no cake she will make, come on now, then she's self-employed. Okay? So then she's stuck here. And that means when Elna gets sick, her business grinds to a halt. You're very vulnerable. You've got to get to this point. This point still means you are active. This point means you are now passive. And that is everybody's dream. And the entrepreneur's creed, let's say, I can't remember this bad word, entrepreneur's slogan is this. An entrepreneur is prepared to do for a short period of time what nobody else wants to do, so that they can do for the rest of their life what everybody else dreams about doing. Okay, so if you want to do for a short period of time what no one else is prepared to do, so that for the rest of your life you can choose what you want to do. That will only happen if you go through that cycle and you get there. And ultimately you get there. So my lens continually, and Daryl will know, I've chatted with him and I chatted a bit with Greg. My total passion is not to go there, but actually to do the blue movement to there. My lens, if I'm sitting chatting with a friend, first thing I'm asking is, if you're going to start this, how are you going to get to there? So my son, who's 9, says to me 2 days ago, Dad, it's time for you to start telling me how to start my own business. I had to wait for him to ask me. So have you got any business books I can read? He's an avid reader. So I came home the next day, and he had scrummaged through my books, and he had found How to Raise a Millionaire Kid. It was on my bookshelf. So I come home, and there it is next to my bed. So Levi says to me, Dad, are you going to read that, or am I going to read that? Because I hadn't done anything in 24 hours. So he's going, hey, 24 hours. He wants an outcome now. It's a little bit like his old man. So is this for you to read, or am I going to read this? So I said, no, we can read it together. And I was doing a bit of prep for this last night, and he goes, Dad, when can we read the books? I said, well, bring the book here. I'll show you something you can read. So I took him to a whole lot of ideas for business kids to start their own business. So he reads the first one. He says, I'm doing that. He goes and whispers to Nikki, and he comes back. He goes, Mom's going to help me start up, Dad. She's going to give me, it was baking biscuits and selling them at church. So Mom's going to give me this, that. How much do you think I should sell them for? So I said, well, what's your input cost? So he goes, nothing. Mom's going to give it to me. So I said, oh, that's great, my boy, but where do you think Mom got it from? So he says, I don't care. She's giving it to me. So I said, well, here's the problem. If your customers get used to buying your biscuits for R5, Mom's not going to keep giving you the mix. Oh, I said, you're going to have to go and buy it yourself. And then suddenly your price jumps to R10, you're going to have grumpy customers. And you can't move customers' prices up very easily. You want to start fairly high and give them a discount. Okay, all right, so what do you think I should? I said, no, boy, we'll talk about this tomorrow. So I'm going home this afternoon to coach my son on his biscuit business. But my whole lens to him is, and I thought about it, sitting on the couch, straight away I'm in this grid and I'm going, what can he do that will give him maximum leverage of his time as a 9-year-old? Because he's going to get disillusioned and bored if he makes one batch of biscuits and sells it and it's too much schlep. Then he's going to give up the idea. So we've got to find something that fits his character, fits his passion, where he can start making some money and ultimately do something down there. Listen, guys have started businesses in their early teens. I don't know if you've seen, it's not Secret Millionaire, it's the young millionaires go, millionaire intern, something like that. Have you seen that? Yeah? These are young multi-millionaires that go undercover into a business to help turn it around. And all these guys started their businesses in their teens. Some of them started their businesses when they're 14. And they end up selling it like to Yahoo for like $140 million. And he had investors in and he only owned 20% of that. But yeah, $20, $30 million at 19 is a fair bit to start with. So you're looking through this lens, how can I sell this thing? How can I at least get to there? You don't want to be here. You don't want to be Mark's plumbers with one vehicle and one assistant, and I've been in the business 30 years. To me, I'm going to say it, and I hope I'm not going to stay anyone's toes. To me, you failed. You probably would be better off having been a plumber employed by Tongaat Hulets or somebody like that with a decent pension, with nice amount of leave, because after 30 years, you're going to get a good 6 weeks leave. Here, you're going to get no leave. We've got to realize probably about 40% of the world is employed in big national businesses. Okay? About 60% on small or self-employed businesses. 60% on here, about 40% are employed by mainline industry. That is the majority of people. It's not a bad thing. Eleanor's hubby is working for Tongaat Hulets. That's a great mix. He's got stability. He's got a career path. He's got certainty. She can make it big, make it small, and she can cover, pay for your holidays in future. That's the plan, isn't it? So majority, or 40% of the world, I used to think it was more, but I studied it. I went and looked it up, and actually more people are involved in small and medium enterprise than large enterprise. About 40% on here, probably another 40% are employed in one of these size businesses, and then the rest, 20%, are going to be business, self-employed or business owners in that sort of space. But if you are here, you want to get there or go and get a job. Honestly, you don't want to be running around self-employed, pressure every single month, unless your value is, I want to spend time with my kids at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I don't mind us living in a very small house in a not so nice area with one car, and we have the basics of life, but we've got a quality of life. Then that works. So we don't want to knock that either. Not everybody wants to be owning something. Some people just want to actually grow up with the kids. They want to be around when the kids are around. A lot of people make a call of, I want my wife to be home in the afternoon when my kids come home from school. She could earn an extra 10 grand a month working full day, but she's only earning 7 part-time, and we'd rather have that than her not being there when the kids come home. Those are all value calls that you'll have to make for yourself. But if you are here, don't think that this is a mind-bending, impossible leap. It's not. And that's what we're going to look at today, is how do you get there? How do you get to be growing a bit more? And I think we've done our 45 minutes. We're definitely going to run out of time, but anyway. No, I mean, I do want to do questions. So let's do questions and we'll have a break. You know, when you stand up here, you're full of energy. So, Craig, you need to control the brakes. So any questions so far? We haven't really got anywhere yet. We've just been introing this, but any questions? Yes. 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 Right. I don't want to write on there because I think it's going to go straight through. But let me write lightly on here. Absolutely. Here, if I'm a consultant, I always want to talk about push versus pull factors. A push factor is, I hate this business. I hate my boss. I want to get out. Okay. Is it?
Yeah.
Come on, Craig, man.
No,
but you've got good paint on your wall, haven't you? So, a push factor, I hate my boss. I hate my business. I'm going to go and try something. A pull factor, my business that I started up on the side is going so well, it needs me. And it pulls me out because it's doing so well. Push factor, we had a lot of these. And as all the peristatals, the change of government, and the peristatals started jettisoning older white guys, and they were giving them retrenchment packages at 50, early retrenchment. The guys are getting 1.5-2 million rand, the late 80s and early 90s, and probably through into the mid 90s. A lot of push. Sorry, we are rationalizing, and there's your package, off you go. Now, the guy didn't really want to go. He's gone, he's got his capital, he goes, okay, I'm going to start up my plumbing business, my hardware store, whatever else it may be. That's a push factor. Dangerous, dangerous, dangerous place to be. You've got capital, you pushed out, you grab anything, you panic. Not good. So 100% correct. If you can make sure you get pulled out of your business, catering. Get pulled out. Start helping out with the cake lady. And you know what? Few people are prepared to do what an entrepreneur is prepared to do for a short time so they can do what they want to do for the rest of their lives. So the short time is I work 8 to 5, and then I bake 5 until midnight for 3 years. Guys don't want to do that. They want to go and watch TV, and they want to go and do all sorts of other stuff. You can't. I sat my family down, and we started Energy Drive. I said, this is going to take me 12 hours a day, Joburg, Cape Town, but in 4 years' time, things are going to change. And you know what you've got to do is you've got to learn, and this is more in a life coaching space, but you've got to learn to put pegs of reward in your diary. Peg your diary with a reward. We're going to graft, but on that day, we're going away for the weekend. You've got to peg your reward. If you don't peg your reward, your kids get miserable. You're always on your cell phone. You're always on your tablet. You're always on your laptop. Your wife's saying the same thing. And it's, don't talk to me about when the money comes. You told me 3 years ago we'd get a better Christmas that year. And then you told me, and then you told me it. Yeah? So what do you do? Don't make it a when the money comes. Make it a we're going to pay the price now. We're actually going to find a place to go to the Midlands even for a day. We had a bunch of Canadians out for a wedding recently. I drove them to Shishlui. We saw leopard, elephant, rhino, buffalo. The only one we didn't see was lion of the big five. We saw a whole lot of other stuff, warthog messing around, buck for Africa, and I had them home by 8 o'clock that night. 60 rand for a South African to get into the Shishlui and Mfolozi Game Reserve. Let me tell you, some stuff our government has done outstandingly well. Outstandingly well. Durban Beachfront, outstandingly, brilliantly done thing by eThekwini Municipality for the World Cup. Safe, clean, proud of my city. Drive down there, go for a walk with your family if you want to. Break, go to Circus Circus for breakfast. Let that be a reward even if you can't afford it. Drive to Shishlui for the day. 60 rand entrance fee, 100 rand buffet breakfast thing. You can do it for 500 rand plus a bit of petrol. You'll feel like you've been in the Kruger National Park for a week. Yep. 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 Best place to be. And yep. 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 And you probably haven't got too many children in nappies at this point. See, there you go. See. Yep. Yep. Yeah, good. Very good. Very good. That's very good balance. How many of you have got kids that have left matric? Post matric? I want to tell you, you are in the... you got little kids still coming though, eh? How many of you had no kids under 18? No kids under 18. I want to tell you, you are sitting with massive time opportunity on your hands. When the world is going, you're useless, we don't want to employ you, you're over 60, you're over 65, you're sitting with time that you can convert to money. You're the untapped entrepreneurs of South Africa. Totally. And the guys that have got no kids and aren't yet married are equally in the same space. Watch that kid come along and your energy is a tank. They will. You say this to your wife, how did we have so much time when we were courting? But now that we're married, living in the same house, we seem to run out of time all the time. I don't know if you noticed that in your life. I don't know how it happened, but somehow it happens. You've now got the laundry to do and all the stuff that mom or got taken care of when you're at home, suddenly is on your plate. So in your single and when your youngest kid leaves matric, you're on your prime time for entrepreneurial activities, but you've got to educate yourself. Yeah? Oh, yeah. Leverage them. Leverage them as much as you can. Work out, and we're going to talk about that now. Oh, should we stand for 5 minutes? Or yeah? There's 45 minutes on the button, Craigie. That was my timer, 45 minutes.